Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is the show that gives you insights and resources on how to live a more courageous life. We'll be looking at men, the current state of masculinity, and how to create a more inspiring narrative for all men. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. Man, things are moving really fast right now. Can you sense it? Trump's victory has put the wind in the sail of a whole bunch of ideas and people that were waiting to see if we have the green light to proceed saving the nation. And we do, thankfully. I don't know about you, but I'm loving President Trump's new team. I don't agree with all of his appointments. That's natural. What I do see is a committed group of patriots with their eye on removing the corruption in all of the systems that have weakened our great nation. Of all the appointments, the two I am most excited about today, and that may change over time, is Robert Kennedy Jr. as the health secretary and Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy as the Department of Government Efficiency committee leaders. Both of these appointments are sure to make lots of noise and lots of positive changes. I see Kennedy has already stated that they will be taking fluoride out of the water in dental offices. Why? Well, studies have conclusively found fluoride is a neurotoxin that is just really bad for humans, even dropping IQ by as much as 8 points. The so-called conspiracy theorists, quote-unquote, have warned us about this for decades. Hell, we haven't had it in our house for nearly 20 years. And I am giddy beyond belief at the DOGE appointment of Vivek and Elon. Shit, they are going to take a hatchet to the three-letter agencies and the Department of Education as well. Good riddance. The American people deserve better than having your kids dumbed down by Marxists and filling their heads with lies and deception and transgenderism. Shame on them. Dismantle it, I say. Teachers, if they're any good, and many are not, will probably make just as much money, if not more, teaching in small homeschool environments with a fraction of the children. Learning won't be going away, just government indoctrination camps. Bye-bye. Oh, and Elon and Vivek, please, please, please don't forget to eliminate the awful fucking TSA, that corrupt, lame-ass three-letter agency that was created by the Patriot Act in the wake of 9/11. The Patriot Act was really just a cover for the deep state in partnership with big tech to create a surveillance panopticon. There is a much more efficient way to safely move humans through airports, and I know Elon Musk will come up with a solution in about 5 minutes. I saw an interesting meme from End Wokeness that I wanted to share. He posted a picture of Elon Musk, Tulsi Gabbard, Donald Trump, and Robert Kennedy Jr. with the quote, every single person in this picture used to be a Democrat. Total realignment, unquote. Think about that. Trump and his core team are all walk-away Democrats. Ha! I love it. And I really love chatting with my guest today, another courageous woman who, like me and my wife, along with Elon, Tulsi, Trump, and RFK Jr., and a growing legion of people, counts herself in the walk-away camp. Former traditional liberals who have seen the light. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone. Base Campers, I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Beth Bourne. Beth is a mother, a parental rights activist, and a leader in California with a group that we love here called Moms for Liberty. Here is my interview with Beth Bourne. All right, I am here with Beth Bourne, mother, parental rights activist, Mom for Liberty's leader, Beth Bourne. Beth, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
It's great to be here, Tony. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I got your name from Pamela Garfield Yeager. We did a Navigating Transgenderism episode a couple months back, and I was just asking her who else should I talk to in this space, and your name came up, and she goes, yeah, she's just got really interesting stories. She's got a trans child, which we'll talk about, and she's active, and I just thought I reached out through the Moms for Liberty and found you, and you were game, thankfully, so thank you. And, you know, to start with, I guess I just want to acknowledge you are, you know, I value courageous people, and you are certainly fit the bill of being a courageous person because you've got a Is it right to say trans daughter or trans son? I get the lingo mixed up.
You know, the way I've been saying it the last couple of years, I say I have a daughter who identified.
There you go. Boy, yes. Yeah. I like that. I like that better. A daughter who identifies as now non-binary. We'll get to her journey. But I just want to commend you on your courage because, you know, that first wave of transgenderism, I know people that got swept up in it. It hit them blindsided and parents did not have resources. There was nobody on their side, not the school counselors, not the doctors. Like it was, you know, and so a lot of parents did not know where to turn. And so they just went along with it. You have fought it and kind of gotten some notoriety. You've had some viral videos, and I'm sure it created some tension between you and your daughter. But you know, you've been a stand for truth. You've been a stand for parents and children. So thank you for doing that. And I guess just to start with, just give us a little bit about your background. Like, where are you at in the world? What types of things have you done for work, and how many children do you have, and just anything else you want us to know before we really get going?
Sure. So let's see. I live here in Davis, California. I'm, you know, 54 years old. I work at the university, but my previous career, I was a city planner in Palo Alto and here in Davis. And I grew up overseas. My dad was in the Foreign Service. My parents were conservative and my three older brothers were conservative. But I sort of went this left, you know, took a turn in my political viewpoints when I was in college, became an environmentalist, and, you know, became this Democrat. But, you know, I don't know if you've seen the graphic Colin Wright put together, but it kind of shows how you could be somebody who was sort of center or even right. And still now, you know, with the far left going so far left, You're still in the same place, but now you're seen as conservative. So, yeah, I'm definitely one of those people that have, you know, walked away from the left. And I just find myself, you know, I work at the university. I'm actually on an investigatory leave for the last few months. So I probably can't talk too much about that. But Right. I'm here in this very liberal town. You know, it's 85% Democrats here in Davis. And I have two children. My son is 16 and my daughter, we've been estranged for 2 years. She went through the public school systems and it was about seventh grade where she was introduced to transgenderism and then came out, you know, with this trans identity. So that's kind of my story, I guess. So now I would say I'm pro reality.
Yeah.
Know, I'm somebody who's just believes in, you know, the biological truth that we have men and women and there's no other sex and you can't change your sex. But, if people want to call me bigoted or transphobic for just believing in reality, then so be it.
Yeah, I feel you. You know, they kept, I had Dr. Mark McDonald on, and we were talking about being liberal. And he said, Tony, traditional liberals and conservatives, like Kennedy liberals, which is what you and I were, he said, Kennedy liberals and conservatives have a ton in common. He goes, it's only the loudspeaker on the crazy radical left that is hijacked that party. And has pulled some of the Kennedy liberals over to that side. He goes, if you're just, you know, tolerant of lifestyle and, you know, all the things that have been traditional, liberal values, he's, you know, environment, all this stuff. He goes, there's a ton in common, but the media blares out, and name calls both sides to try to get so that people don't realize that they're all on the same page, basically, against this insanity that's upon us, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So your daughter, she was exposed to transgenderism. How quick from the time she was exposed to it did she declare that she was in the wrong body and wanted to be a boy, I guess, is the first question. Like, was that seventh grade, did you say?
Right. And, You know, I didn't realize it at the time, but they were introducing the idea of LGBTQ, you know, in the elementary schools. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was even a mother who, when my daughter was in first grade, who said that she had a trans child. She had three boys, and she said her youngest boy was actually a transgender girl, and so started, you know, dressing this two-year-old boy in princess clothing. And I remember feeling uncomfortable by this. Mm-hmm. And then I had heard there were a couple other kids at her elementary school who were, you know, they were trans identified, right? And it just was unsettling to me, but I didn't do any like research. I just noticed these other liberal moms were all going along with the idea that there were kids born in the wrong body. And when my daughter was in sixth grade, she told me she was bisexual. And, you know, I was upset because, you know, I didn't even know what to do with this information. How could an 11-year-old say that she was bisexual, right?
Right.
And so I should have done some research, right? Where did you hear the idea of these different sexualities, and who is asking you to label your sexuality as an 11-year-old? And so she and some other friends, there was some trauma. Her best friend had some real, you know, trauma in their family. And it really impacted my daughter and this other girl and several girls in the elementary school. And then my daughter, which is a common trajectory, you know, they get interested in this LGBTQ stuff. They have some trauma, and then there's some self-harm and cutting, you know, that happens. Mm-hmm. And then to me, it seemed the idea that I don't want to be a girl anymore. I want to be seen as a boy because I learned about it in school. I don't feel comfortable, you know, going through puberty. I don't want the trauma, you know, that happened to my friend, this, you know, sexual assault trauma. Mm-hmm. I want to become a boy. And I think it'll help with my cutting and my suicide ideality. You know, it's all very common. So these kids come at it through these other comorbidities, either cutting or anorexia or, you know, childhood trauma. And this was 2018. So I did not understand how this was kind of promoted in the schools, that my daughter had learned about, you know, gender identities, and that sometimes if you're uncomfortable in your body, it's because you could be transgender. And so when I got the information, you know, I was shocked. I you know, she sent me this letter, which again, I didn't realize there's these form letters that kids can find online where they, you know, let their parents or their school counselor or their, you know, grandparents know that they're coming out as trans and how they want to be identified with a new name and, mm-hmm. you know, new pronouns. And, you know, I'd like to get a binder. My daughter also was interested in medicalizing. You know, she's 13 and she already had done all this research on puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. And, you know, she found the citations through Planned Parenthood and the World Professional Association of Transgender Health Professionals, WPATH.
Yep.
And I should mention my daughter is extremely intelligent. So she is a National Merit Scholar, you know, perfect SAT math score, mm-hmm. every AP class you could take, but also socially immature. So intellectually mature, socially immature. Mm-hmm. And so if she read something, you know, she would read it. She's a black and white thinker, right? She reads something in print. It must be true. You know, I see the citations. You know, she has an encyclopedic mind. And so she would just present all this information to me as if it was factual.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so it's hard for me because it's 2018. There's hardly anything out there of, no, this isn't, you know, this is a lobbying group. The medical professions are all captured. So back in 2018, the only places I could find any information that was against this, and unfortunately I wasn't on Twitter, but there was some, it's called Fourth Wave Now in Australia, and they were speaking out against it, and there were detransitioners already. Mm-hmm. And then there was an endocrinologist, Will Malone, I think he's in New York, and he was speaking out against it. And when I found these two sources, I remember telling my sister, who also lives in the Bay Area, you know, oh my God, there's people who are writing about this transgenderism, you know, that girls, you know, they get into it and then they realize they made a big mistake. And there's actually some doctors who are, you know, pushing back against it. Mm-hmm. So I feel so thankful that I did push back immediately on my daughter's psychiatrist. And I said, she will not be medicalized no matter what until she's, you know, 18. And so that gave me some time. That gave me 4 years to, you know, hope that she would grow out of this, this identity.
And then what happened? Did she then move from wanting to be a boy to non-binary? Like what, how did that go? And how old was she when she did that?
Yeah. So, you know, for a couple of years, I used the name that she wanted. She wanted a boy's name. Yep. It was Ian. Mm-hmm. And then, but I never used pronouns. And I encourage all parents, you know, don't refer to your daughter as a he, him, or
they.
You could just talk about your child using, you know, and I did use the name because I had to keep her in my home because I was divorced. And mm-hmm. she had an affirming father and a stepmom who was affirming. And mm-hmm. I couldn't risk losing custody. So I decided to use this boy name, but just think of it like a nickname. And so whenever I could, I would just, you know, just call her honey or you know, and I would just use the name rather than trying to use these pronouns that to me... You should never have to lie to your child and use pronouns that don't match, you know, what you're seeing.
Right. Was your ex, was he like really enthusiastic about the transitioning? Like, was he like, no, yeah. I think we should get excited and embrace this. I mean, was he was on the magical carpet ride with, you know, he wanted to go along right. for the ride and wasn't asking questions.
So, you know, I don't know if you've heard Elon Musk recently talk about his son, but Elon Musk talks about making a mistake during COVID when he allowed his son to go on puberty blockers. Mm-hmm. And Elon Musk said, you know, I didn't know what was happening. And, you know, my ex-husband is also a brilliant engineer. You know, he's a computational engineer, a genius. And so, I think in some ways you're gullible when you're a genius because you're more trusting of people than you should be.
Yeah.
And so being, you know, a genius and being mathematical, you might not have street smarts. And so I think he went along with it because he just thought, of course, we're going to believe what the doctors say and the school counselor says and what the psychiatrist says. But I am thankful he did go along with my, you know, I pleaded. I said, we can't put our daughter on puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones because, you know, I had a letter from the endocrinologist that said it's an emerging field. You know, we don't have any long-term studies. We just know that it might help with reducing suicide. And so I said, I don't want our daughter to be a guinea pig. You know, I don't want her to go on these drugs that have never been given to young kids before. And I was able to get the psychiatrist to go along with this message to my daughter in the room with my ex-husband. And that was, if she takes puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones, she's going to hurt her brain development, loss of bone density, higher risk of cancer, and a risk of infertility. So for those four reasons, I said, you can't do this until you're 18. Mm-hmm. And I think in some ways she was relieved to hear that. It's almost like when you tell your teenage son, you know, we're not going to let you smoke marijuana or do drugs. And in fact, we're going to do a drug test every 6 weeks. So you can't do any drugs. And then they get to tell their friends, hey, I tried, you know, I want to do these drugs with you, but I can't because my parents are going to test me. So sorry, I can't do any of the drugs. And then they don't look like they don't want to participate, right? It's their parents that are keeping them.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so now my daughter got to say, you know, I wear the binder, I changed my name. She even had her birth certificate changed. But, you know, my parents, they're not going to let me do anything medical till I'm 18. But, you know, I'm doing everything else. So it didn't look like she wasn't courageous or, you know, a true. It was just her parents were stopping her.
Right. She wasn't turning her back on her newfound friends, right? Her tribe that she identifies with. So it was like the parents, because she wasn't 18 yet, you guys were the one that were hamstringing her. So it gave her an out. And also, you know, it sounds like your daughter is really smart. I'm sure underneath the teenage cocky, you know, I'm a really smart teenager and I can read stuff and integrate it really fast. I'm sure there was a part of what the endocrinologist was saying, and even what you were saying, that was probably going was registering as, yeah, that might be true. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because she's really smart, so she's probably respects an endocrinologist. It's like, you know, this person sounds really smart. He's a scientist and he's saying all these things. Some of it's getting through, and then it's aligning what you were saying, the pumping the brakes, not on, we're not going to do those hormones yet. So, you know, I love hearing that story that, you know, she felt really relieved at just like delaying that until she was old enough to make a choice without consulting, but also gave her a little bit of time to, you know, see if it's going to be a phase. Because I think, you know, I think the detransitioning, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I think the detransitioning group is going to grow, and it's not just going to be Chloe Cole and a few others that are saying, "Please be careful." You know, I was really just a tomboy at heart, and I took this hook, line, and sinker, and look at me now. I think as that tribe grows over the years, and there's going to be a lot of them that are really social media savvy. Some will probably have podcasts and shows where they're talking about this stuff, and that's going to find their way into the trans community, and hopefully will act as a warning. Because it's one thing to, you know, that's the insidious kind of evil part is kids are naturally rebellious. Like my kid's rebellious against his mother and I, just like yours was against you. So if they get these trans ideas, it plays in their Achilles heel of, you know, screw mom and dad. I'm going with the unicorns because I want, you know, I want the attention, or I feel validated that I'm not just a girl. You know, it makes me feel special, and it lets me give the middle finger to my mom or my mom and dad at the same time. It's like this magic bullet, right? And so it's played right into the Achilles heel of these teens. Where was I going with that? I was going to make a grander point, but I'm kind of losing my.
I think about the detransitioners too, that they're
Oh
just coming.
yeah. I think they're going to be the ones because they're trusted. I know Chloe Cole got thrown under the bus as, oh, what a traitor to our community. But as more and more Chloe Coles come out saying, they are, you know, this screwed me up. I can't have kids, or you know what? I changed my mind and I'm only 23 and it screwed up everything about me. Like, you know, and I'm not wishing that on anyone. I just think it's inevitable that when you play with biology and you play with hormones and you castrate and all these different extreme things that these companies are doing and these doctors are doing, there's going to be some people that are like, I have to speak out. There's going to be detransitioners that are aligned like we are with the truth. And I think they're going to be maybe the most important group in the next, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
I 100% agree with you. Yeah, there's a Reddit sub channel called Detrans, r/Detrans. I think there's 45,000 or 50,000 on there right now. And you know, you could just jump on there and look at some of the dialogue. But they come out, you know, a couple dozen every single day. Someone will reach out to me, or I'll see a video, or we'll share something. So that the numbers are just growing, you know, exponentially on these kids like my daughter who realized, you know, I'm not really trans. And they, you know, they're sharing their story more. And I should mention that my daughter did share a lot about her story in a newspaper article in the Sacramento Bee, and it was picked up by AOL. And so the news story just gave my daughter a chance to talk about what it's like to have a mom who is seen as, you know, an activist, anti-trans activist. And then she shared a lot about how she feels. And so when I speak about her, I try not to, you know, share too many private details. So I just encourage people to, you know, if you want to hear from my daughter directly, you can kind of read her side of the story by just, you know, looking up my name. And I think the story's, it's about our estrangement. So you can, you can find it there. Yeah.
And is that, are you still estranged with her? I mean, what does that relationship look like? How do you navigate that? Because in some ways, it's a parent's worst nightmare. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, my daughter has gone a direction that is in, I feel like she's in danger. I want to speak out and help parents better understand this. And it's causing this rift. But, you know, yeah. How do you navigate that? What's your relationship like now, now that she's off to college? Does it feel like there's a closeness still? Has she moved a little bit closer to you because of this stuff, or is it still feel like, you know, miles away?
I would say maybe miles away, but you know, my feelings around what does estrangement mean have probably, evolved quite a bit. So I think when I first, you know, I knew there was a good chance once I started speaking out publicly, and I told my daughter, you know, I'm really involved with these parents group and it's, I can't be quiet anymore. You know, I told her this in person. I said, I can't be quiet anymore because my friends, you know, their kids are going through these horrific surgeries and, you know, these really sad stories. And I can't let that happen to any more young people. And so I knew there was a chance that she would, you know, be estranged from me. And they actually call it no contact, right? They coach these kids to, you know, if you have a parent who isn't affirming, you should just go no contact. And so her counselor, her therapist, or her, you know, the people at school, there's this idea that trusted adults can be anybody, not just your parents, right? And so you can instead look to your school counselor to be your trusted adult, or you can look to, you know, your chosen family. And so it was her 17th birthday. We had just come back from a 2-week trip to Japan and Bangkok, Thailand. So we'd gone on this great trip. It was her 17th birthday. We did the candles and the cake, and then she gathered some things from her room, her bedroom, and then she walked out. And I kind of knew by the way she was gathering things that she'd gone on that trip with me and her brother and, you know, my partner. But she gathered her things and that, you know, I might not see her come back in the house again. And that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So on her 17th birthday, she did the birthday gifts, walked out. But I'm fortunate because unlike other parents who are estranged, you know, I still got to see my daughter a lot her senior year of high school because I was in charge of the chaperones for her theater group. And so I was still at the high school, you know, seeing her, you know, performing and going with her. You know, she wouldn't be in my car, but I would see her, you know, going into the symphony hall and, you know, performing. And then I would see her even this last year, you know, it's her first year in college. She's up in Western Washington. I would see her at my son's volleyball games and she wouldn't, you know, acknowledge me or say hi, but I still get to see my daughter in person, you know, and see that she's growing into a lovely, you know, beautiful young woman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just other little bits of information I know about her life that she's really, you know, thriving and doing wonderful in school. And she's taken on this identity, at least at the time of this Sacramento Bee article, where she says she's non-binary. And that's an on-ramp and an off-ramp for a trans identity. So a lot of girls will start off saying, hey, I'm non-binary. I want to wear a binder. And then, you know, their parents are terrified when the daughter says, actually, I'm transgender. But it can also be a really good way for a kid to stay in the community with their trans friends and not have to, you know, wear their hair short and dress like a boy and, you know, start testosterone so they can grow, you know, facial hair.
It can be a step back then, right? Away from the extremes of that. That's great. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, but it's also why I tell people it's very dangerous to even think that there's something like being non-binary or being gender fluid. Like, we should never tell any young person, any child, that there's anything else than being a girl or a woman or a boy or a man. And there's no wrong or right way to be one. And it doesn't matter how you dress or you wear your hair or what activities you like. You know, we have biological sex.
Yeah.
The terms of like being trigender or bigender or pangender or agender, these are all the terms my daughter learned in her health class. They're all made up terms, right? It's a pseudoscience religion that has no facts behind it.
Well, and I saw the well-known story that Pamela mentioned when she mentioned your name. She said, yeah, she famously posed as a non-binary woman and to see what the reaction would be like from her doctors and her healthcare providers. I don't know if I have that quite right, but I'll tee that up for you. What did you find out? What did you think you might find out by doing it? Like, why did you do it? And then what did you discover that maybe was really shocking to you or surprised you or was like, oh my God, I cannot believe that this is happening, you know?
Yeah, no, you got it exactly right. You know, I basically did citizen journalism, right? I decided to just pretend, go undercover and pretend that I was a trans patient. And the reason I got the idea, this was in 2022, September. So it was a few weeks after my daughter said she was going to be living full time with her father. So I had some, you know, space in my head and in my time to sort of devote to this idea that I'm going to track down exactly what will happen at Kaiser if I tell them that I'm transgender and I want to go on hormones, I want to get top surgery, you know, cosmetic mastectomy.
Yep.
And I want to have, I actually decided to go for the full bang, right? I asked for lower surgery. So that's a total hysterectomy with a phalloplasty. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, this fake penis. Yep. But yeah, I got the idea because they asked me to come in for a cervical exam. And they said it's for all people between 21 and 65 should come in for their cervical exam. And I was so like upset with Kaiser for not saying it's women, right? Women should come in for their cervical exam.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked my OBGYN, you know, why does the letter not refer to women? You know, it said basically if you're an individual with a cervix. And she said, we're just trying to be more inclusive of our trans, you know, identified patients or transgender patients.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote back and I said, well, in that case, please consider me non-binary. You know, I really like sports and I've never considered myself a real woman. You know, please change mm-hmm. my records. And within 45 minutes, I mean, it was insane. Within 45 minutes, I get back an email from, you know, the head physician in the group. And she said, you know, we just want to let you know that we've changed your records. We've changed your pronouns. Oh, yeah. It was. And then within 2 weeks, I was in for getting testosterone. That was like an 8-minute appointment. And it was a $5 copay. And then, you know, when I started talking to the mental health people, they're called gender specialists, about the top surgery, I just tried bringing up all these red flags, right? Because mm-hmm. I wanted them to push back. You know, I said, you know, my mom had mental health issues. I had an eating disorder, you know, when I was in college and I was a competitive, you know, collegiate runner. I was actually, and this is true, I was sexually assaulted when I grew up in Mexico City on the buses in the metro. You know, you would be groped. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I had all this trauma around being a young woman and, you know, family history. And they said, don't you worry about it. This is totally, you know, what you're doing with this top surgery is part of your journey. You know, it has nothing to do with what happened to you when you grew up. We want to make sure that you can be your authentic self. And they were like pitching it, right? They're like a sales pitch. You know, you really should come in for this gender affirming care. And they, you know, sent me to a workshop where I got on a Zoom call with 50 other prospective patients who wanted top surgery. And the youngest one was probably in her early teens, and she was in the kitchen with her mother, you know, on the Zoom call. And then a lot of the women were like my age or older, in their 50s and 60s. And what I noticed with all these, you know, women that wanted top surgery was they just all looked lonely and unhappy, and a lot of them looked unhealthy, right? Mm-hmm. So to have doctors and therapists saying, you're going to be so happy, and, you know, I'm so proud of you, and, you know, to get all this attention as you ask for basically, you know, amputation of your healthy breasts. Anyways, I'm glad I went through the this undercover work. You know, when I asked for the phalloplasty, which most people probably don't know, but it's they take skin tissue from either your forearm or from your upper thigh. It's called the donor site. Mm-hmm. And they take that skin tissue and they make it into a fake penis or a phallus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, depending on what skin tissue they use, the penis can be either longer if they use your forearm tissue. But if they use your thigh tissue, it's going to be a thicker, fatter penis, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I was with my friends kind of working on this undercover work, and we would just joke about it, you know, like, oh, you should ask your boyfriend what kind of, you know, what does he want for this phallus? I mean, you have to have some humor with it because it's so Absolutely. Grotesque. Yeah. And so, so I'm talking with the doctors, you know, even the visit for the top surgery, it's all done over Zoom. It's all telemedicine, right? So I had to lift up my shirt and, you know, without a bra on, and show the surgeon my breasts so she could tell me, you know, what kind of top surgery she would approve. So I got approved for all three, you know, the testosterone, the top surgery, and the phalloplasty. And wow. For the phalloplasty, they made an exception because I had said, you know, I actually don't want to go on the testosterone and I want to have it done very soon. And so they allowed it just 4 months after I got approved for the top surgery. They allowed the hysterectomy and the phalloplasty. So it's not this long stretched out, you know, period where you're going to be checked for your mental health. They just push you along because the surgeons, you know, they make $20,000 on a top surgery, which is, you know, cosmetic mastectomy, where the surgeon doesn't even have to be careful because there's no cancerous tissue. They're just chopping off your breast. And the phalloplasty is about $100,000 procedure. And with, you know, Kaiser Permanente insurance, the copay is $100 for top surgery and $200 for a phalloplasty.
No way. It's it's covered basically, right?
It is. It's like free, you know?
Oh, wow.
And so because they're the insurer and the provider, it means that their surgeons are making a ton of money and they just are billing all the other members of Kaiser, right? So you're all, everyone's paying for it. We're all paying for it.
My God. You know, I did not know that. I guess my focus has been all on kids and teens and stuff. But is there really like a lot of, you said you saw these, you know, women your age, so women in their, you know, 40s, 50s that are getting transitioned. So they're not getting that from public school or, you know, I mean, are they getting it? Where are they getting the idea? Because I really thought, well, between public schools pushing it, either overtly or kind of in a hidden way where the parents can't really see the material, or they're having people stop in to talk about, you know, the health teachers talking about transgender and all that stuff. And TikTok, I really thought it was kind of kids were clicking on TikTok and finding trans material that was pro-trans. But when you say like there's a, you know, there's women your age that are hooked in, I'm like, where are they getting the idea? And why are they doing it? You think they would be, you know, no, I'm not, you know, is it like you said, they're lonely, or they're maybe they're looking for a, I mean, they kind of sell the trans community as, oh, it's all these magical unicorns, come be one of us and you'll be celebrated. And maybe it's just a lack of self-esteem and lack of feeling like you belong with a community. Maybe it comes across as, oh, we'll welcome you in your confusion or your transition into the from non-binary over to transgender, and maybe they've never had anybody welcome them. I don't know.
Right. No, I think that's it. So, you know, a lot of these women too, I should mention, they're women who might have been, you know, the lesbian, kind of butch lesbians, right? They're tomboyish women.
Yep.
Who, you know, for whatever reason, they don't fit in with societal norms for being a woman. And so now, you know, rather than saying, oh, I'm this butch lesbian, oh, I'm a trans man. And you get celebrated in a much different way.
That's true.
And also so many of these women to me, and what I've seen, you know, from the girls here at Davis High School, a lot of them are on the spectrum, right? These are girls that are very quirky. And you know, if you're autistic, you're going to feel uncomfortable in your clothing. So you're going to feel uncomfortable wearing, you know, lacy dresses or bras, or, you know, it's more comfortable to dress like a boy.
Yep.
And wearing a binder is also, if you have sensory issues, you know, it kind of pushes on your chest, which can be comforting for somebody who's autistic.
Mm.
So, and also I think we don't realize it, but if you look around, the idea of being transgender is all over the place. So now it's part of like media. So you have people like Ellen Page, who now goes by Elliot Page, and she's, you know, seen as, or he, as this hero, or Caitlyn Jenner. I think Will Ferrell just came out with a movie recently that, you know, celebrates his friend's transition, this, you know, 6-year-old man who's now calling himself a woman in their road trip across the country, right? This is Will Ferrell. So I think, you know, Hollywood, entertainment, the whole far left, the medical industry, they've really capitalized on the idea of lonely people that are uncomfortable with themselves and you know, they want to create a new person.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, what do you think is driving it? You know, I mean, we have done all kinds of conspiracy, what would be considered conspiracy theory stuff. A lot of it is flat out true, as anybody that goes down rabbit holes and does their own research will find out. But, you know, it seems like, you know, as you look at it and you're like, well, I mean, because there's some people that just like, I don't see anything happening. Like I know people like that. There was somebody that took me out to coffee, goes, I just don't see the transgender for the youth. I'm like, well, we live near Vashon Island. 50% of the high school students identify as trans. Is that not alarming to you? He thinks it's a naturally occurring thing. Like, no, it's just occurring. I'm like, dude, you got to think this through. Like, and so do you think it's part of, if we're going to put our tinfoil hats on, is it part of a part of a depopulation agenda where, because, you know, a lot of these, if you're going to be castrating yourself and taking all these pharmaceuticals for, you know, all kinds of things, you know, you could be infertile. You could maybe not have kids. I don't know how many of these trans kids are going to be mothers and fathers some days unless they pump the brakes and not do anything too drastic. Or, you know, there's a whole, you know, people write all kinds of stuff about the deep state and this kind of trying to destroy America from the inside. And it's difficult to look at what they're doing in the schools, what they're doing in quote unquote healthcare. I say that in air quotes because there's nothing healthy about the healthcare system. It does look like we're being destroyed by the institutions are so corrupt. There's so much graft. There's so many bribes and kickbacks, and most of it works against children and against humanity. And my listeners know I have talked about this. I dissected it this way and that way. My big message is just be careful. There's a reason I've had guests on that have said, take your kids out of public school, because as Pamela Yeager, Garfield Yeager said, you can't trust the school counselors. They're in on this kind of scammy transgender thing that they're pushing. And that doesn't mean every teacher is bad. It doesn't mean all that stuff. It's just the systems and the institutions that we have depended on as authorities that are watching out for us and our kids are obviously working against what is best for us. And I think people are slowly starting to realize, wait a minute, the media is lying to us. The drug companies have captured nearly everything and they're pushing this. There's a lot of money, but beyond that, there's just a ton of corruption underneath it. I'm interested in your thoughts on that.
You know, I started doing a lot of research on how it came into our schools here in California, a lot of it around sports. So we have, you know, the California Interscholastic Federation, and it governs all high school sports. And they now say that any boy can compete in girls' sports if they identify as trans or non-binary, and they get to self-ID and they get to use a girls' locker room. And, you know, at my child's high school, there have been 5 boys in the last few years who have said they're girl athletes. And so they've taken varsity places. One boy won the state championship last year in downhill skiing for California. And he's a 6'2" boy, you know, who's stronger and more powerful, faster than any girl. So I wanted to find out, how did this come into, you know, our high school system? And it was back in 2013, and really Obama, you know, I guess told Governor Brown, right, you know, that this is how we're going to look at trans children in the schools and in sports. And I guess he was backed by the, is it the Pritzkers? You know, that Obama was, who's governor of Illinois. So, you know, I don't know where all the money came from or how it came through, but it definitely was this political agenda. And, you know, the human resource, HRC, that group was like backing, you know, gay marriage. And when that got passed so quickly, they had all this organization and money behind gay rights. And so they needed a new issue. And that's where they started pushing this trans rights, which have nothing to do with being, you know, your sexuality and being gay. And I feel terrible for the LGB that. Yeah. You know, this queer stuff and trans stuff have kind of like been lumped together with them. But that's kind of where I see it, you know, that it became this, the civil rights issue that, of course, it's not a civil rights issue because you're taking away the rights of women and girls if you're letting men who pretend to be women in our spaces and our sports. So it's just been a terrible thing. And I hate the fact that it's the women who are going along with this, you know, that. You know, most school teachers are women. Most medical providers, you know, in the med schools now are women. And I just can't believe they can fall for this. You know,
I know.
So
I just think people are they don't have a lot of bandwidth, right? We have to deal with so much information, and we have to pick our kind of causes that maybe we're going to champion, and maybe a lot of people don't feel like I can get. You know, but yeah, if I'm a daughter, I don't have a daughter, but if I had a daughter in sports, I would be just mortified by all the biological males coming in, you know, like, come on, man, you know? And so, but that feels like it's more girl dad and girl mom fight, you know, because I've got my issues that I'm working on. You know, it's interesting, Beth. I was just at a meeting last night with David Spring. He's part of Washington Parents Network that's really pushing back in the schools here in Washington. And we have Bob Ferguson and Chris Ragdoll, who's the superintendent of schools. And he brought something up to my attention. He said, you know, do you know who Ferguson and Ragdoll are financed by? Like who they are lieutenants of? And I was like, huh, no, who are they? And he said, Bill Gates. They are deeply ideologically and financially backed by Bill Gates, who is a homegrown sociopath right here in Seattle. I've said it many times.
Yes, yes.
But I did not put two and two together. He said, yeah, the Gates Foundation is big on pushing the transgender.
Right.
And you know who else makes tons of money from transgender is Planned Parenthood. And Bill Gates' dad, Bill Gates' dad started Planned Parenthood right here in Seattle, you know, like, and so all of a sudden all these different dots and you're like, oh, I forgot about Bill Gates. Yeah, of course he would be a major player in this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy. So we have a big election. I don't want to put you on the spot. I don't want to say, you know, everybody knows what I think, you know, this conversation about transgender. I think there's only one sane candidate right now for president because already out of the gate, he's saying we're going to ban these biological males from sports right off the get-go. Like, I mean, he's saying that as part of his campaigning. He's kind of reassuring, look, we're going to get back to what is traditional, what is, you know, what is pro-humanity, pro-America. The other candidate's not saying that. And just everything we're talking about. What are your thoughts? You know, you and I both live in these, you know, I mean, up here in Seattle, we are awash in woke. Like, you know, I have to be careful. I very much want to stand up and make a lot of noise, but I have to pick my spots with the podcast and elsewhere because I don't want somebody, you know, throwing a bowling ball through my window, you know, because I'm vocally supporting Donald Trump, but that's who I'm supporting. I think most sane people are going that direction. And there's a ton of people, I think, that are walking away because they realize, look, I'm a traditional Kennedy liberal and I don't understand any of this stuff that the left is doing. And so I think they, you know, there's been such a good job of demonizing Donald Trump to make him seem subhuman that they don't feel like they can go that way, but they're kind of stranded. I think a lot of them maybe went to Kennedy Jr. going, well, here's a sane option. You know, this guy's speaking my language. He's a Kennedy. Well, now he's in Trump's camp as well. And hopefully he's bringing a lot of traditional Kennedy liberals, since he's a Kennedy, over on the sane side. So I just wanted to give you a chance. Like, you know, I heard last night in a meeting, like they said, look, people are confident in the national election, but because we are in, you know, the bluest area, you know, it may not be such a great election for us. Like we could still be like, okay, we got four more years of trying to get the right people in and to change this thing on a state level, but at least we'll have national leadership. I don't know what you want to say about that or what you can say, but I just thought I'd give you a chance since we're practically on top of the election.
It's going to be a really exciting next week. You know, I put my Trump sign up just yesterday in my front yard, a lawn sign.
Nice.
But you know, right next to it, I put two signs from, it's a group called DIAG. It's like Democrats for Informed Gender Medicine, or it's these former left parents like myself who are really pushing back on, you know, the scandal around gender medicine. And the sign says something like, you know, biological reality is not bigotry. So I have these two giant lawn signs right next to each other. And my Trump one actually says, Trump, you know, keep women's sports for females only. So it does point out that Trump's the only one who's, you know, wants to protect women's sports and spaces.
it's probably cognitive dissonance, right? They see the Trump side, like, and they're like, wait a minute, what else is there? Democrats for something.
Exactly.
Who is this woman? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I want people to think. And the other one actually is also, I have three lawn signs. The third one says, in this house, and it basically is playing off the idea of that other sign. In this house, we believe, you know, in science, and we believe that human rights, but it really does say that, you know, surgery doesn't solve suicide, you know, that it just speaks to the idea that, you know, women rights mean we have protection in our spaces. So I've got these signs. I did get to hear Trump speak in Washington, D.C. Last month at the Moms for Liberty Summit. Oh. And, you know, hearing him speak, you know, in a small room, he's so much more personable than I, you know, to hear him speak in a small group and to hear him talk about, you know, things that were important to him.
Yeah.
He does have a really warm way about him.
He's funny. He's funny too, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He just seems so much more down to earth than, you know, what you see on the left side. So, I'm turned off by Gavin Newsom and everything in these far left. So, I'm hopeful. You know, a lot of the women that I'm friends with in San Francisco who are lesbians, you know, women who've voted Democrat their whole lives, like me, we're all voting for Trump. So, yeah. You know, he's definitely appealing to women who haven't lost their brains as the best candidate.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is with where you and I live, like California, Oregon, Washington, God, they're some of the most beautiful states of the whole country, you know? And so we have this juxtaposed next to the natural, you know, splendor of these West Coast states is our screwed up, you know, policies and politicians. And just, there's so much corruption in our states that, you know, I can see us being kind of the tail of the revolution, which is fine. There's people like us that are standing. You've got your Trump sign out front. That's inspiring me. I think I'm going to go put mine up now, instead of hiding it on the porch, you know?
We do have cameras on it though. We have three different, because I really want to catch the person who steals it in the next, you know, day or two. And I bring it in at night. So,
that's smart.
Yeah, and if somebody does egg my house or slash my car tires again, you know, I'll get it on film this time.
There you go. Did you ever see the one where the guy electrified the sign? So, and he had it on camera, somebody tried to pull it up and it
was
a big shock. I was like, oh God, that's good. So yeah. Well, we need to wrap up, Beth. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your insight and your wisdom. Is there anything you'd like to mention in terms of how people can find you and maybe some of your writing, or is there anything you want to point our listeners to before we sign off?
Well, you know, if you just Google my name, a lot of this comes up. So if you just do, you know, Beth Bourne, non-binary, you know, I'm on Twitter. It's, I think it's Bourne Beth 2345, but you can just put my name in. So I've got a bunch of articles that are online and I would love for people to, you know, if you can speak out, you know, if it's even just your neighbor or a colleague at work or at a city council meeting or school board meeting, you know, the more of us that will just, you know, ask questions and point out what you're seeing, it'll make everyone feel braver about speaking out. So thanks for the show today. It's great.
It was really great to chat with you. So glad we got a chance to meet and make some time. And thank you for sharing your stories, your personal stories. I just really appreciate the authenticity and the vulnerability. So thank you, Beth. And let's keep in touch.
Sounds great. Thank you, Tony. Okay.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our time with Beth as much as I did. All sorts of things are on the move, base campers, and so much of it is in humanity's favor. Let's all keep working together to better understand what is happening and what our best options are moving forward. I'm in this with all of you. Thank you, base campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors, and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.